Navigation system.
Please say a command.
On. Ignition. Powered. Seatbelts. Fastened. Shift. Drive. Twin Cities sports fans, hold on tight. Live from the TCL broadcast studios, this is The Ride with Royce.
He's going the distance. He's going full speed.
We're going the distance, all right. We've already gone the distance.
Pretty much.
I mean, between Manny and Reeves over here. You don't mind going by Reeves. Do you go by Reeves at all?
I get called a lot of things, and I never get offended by anything, really. But you and the mayor kind of bonded during the 3 o'clock hour with your head injuries.
We have head trauma.
Yeah.
It's kind of a common denominator.
Explains a lot, too.
It says everything, really. Why I'm just not all there.
No, I was referring to him.
Oh, well,
because he's not all there.
Well, we have it all. It's all the same for the both of us. And right now, he's trying to make that green light out there at 4 o'clock.
Oh man,
got to make that
358.50. It's amazing how one individual can have so much of his day segmented and accounted for, where he knows the light structure of one intersection on a daily basis.
And it's that light right out.
Yeah, the Berrien right Street University, right
in front of the
Berrien University,
rail.
Right in front of the light rail.
Here's another layer of that. It comes in layers. He just told me what the second layer was. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Not only if he can get to that light by 4 o'clock, which it does change, then it comes on even sooner. If someone's already at the light, it kicks it in a little bit sooner, like by 5 seconds.
Wow.
So if you don't get out there and someone was already at the light, it could have changed your light timing.
Launch
and you couldn't miss it.
Oh,
so
my God.
He actually has it down a car. If a car is there, it hits sooner.
You should have seen the day, Mike, that because this is a young man who eats his lunch every day at 10:30 because, you know, he's got to get here. He's got to get things done. And if he's got to, you know, write or whatever, he's got to get things taken care of at a certain point during the day. And you should have seen the time where, and I forget what was going on, but his lunch was either moved ahead by half an hour or moved back by half an hour. And he didn't know how to function because everything was off by 30 minutes.
It throws it off for him.
It was very funny. Very humorous to us.
Creatures of habit.
Yeah, we enjoy
driving. Creatures of habit. And I'm here kind of making fun of him for that.
Are you the same way?
But then I told him that I have to fold my towel after I'm done with my shower and put it up exactly half and half on the towel handle. But if it can't have the tag out, it has to be folded in. The tag has to be folded in, or I redo the whole thing.
Now, is that the player in you?
I don't know if it is or not.
Because when you guys, you know, and I'm just an observer. I've never been involved with an NFL team, but so much of your day is handled for you.
You know what? So much of that is true. We're creatures of habit, like cattle, just being, how cattle just sort of follow in single file from the fields back to the barn and over the trough. I mean, there's always like a pecking order. And in football, it's the same thing. Your meeting times, where you sit in the meeting. Mm. My God, someone is sitting in my chair back there. I've had that for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You move him. He has to
and
move.
It's usually a rookie.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Sit somewhere else. I sit there. It's a folding chair, just like the other ones. And I'm sitting there, though. It's not the best seat in the house. It's not the one that's most comfortable, but I've been sitting there.
But that's your spot.
But I've been sitting there. So you have your time and your place that you arrive at the place. The cup of coffee has to be there. Your sweats have to be in your locker. You can get the ice tub and the towel over your neck and the sweats on. Go watch some film. Do whatever you got to do. And then it's practice. It's the way you eat. It's time to answer fan mail. Moss was big on this. He was the same as I was. Get there at the exact same time. John Randall, him, myself, Jeff Christie, who I hope we'll call, and Randall McDaniel. We'd all arrive at the same time every day at 6 o'clock at Winter Park. Once we got there, had a different ritual. But Moss, I remember Moss's thing was, always, always, always go upstairs, get your mail, and sign off on as much fan mail as you could and mail it from there. Give it to the gals.
That's
the
cool.
Secretary used to mail it off.
That's cool.
Like clockwork. He'd sign it all in the back equipment room as much as he could. Tons of mail.
Oh, I can't even
imagine.
Tons
of mail.
I can't even imagine.
but he would take his entire lunch hour to sign it.
You know, and Randy came up whenever, was it a week ago, 2 weeks ago, when it was announced that he was going to be entering the Vikings Ring of Honor. And, you know, having duties at that other place, and I know you had greater duties over at that other place, but that was the one thing that always stood out to me about him was that he, kids especially, and you know, mm-hmm. more than any other, but it was amazing. And he really never sought credit for any of that. And I think that was the coolest part about him.
It might be why he's probably the most misunderstood Viking player of all time.
Easily, maybe. Yeah.
He's got this thing that follows him around as a bad guy when he probably was even more so a good guy than anything. I mean, he had a bad rap, and he had himself to blame a little bit for that too. But he just got sick and tired of trying to answer about it or for himself, and he just left everything anonymous.
Because there are certain guys, and you know this better than anybody, there are certain guys that know where the cameras are.
Oh, yeah.
And they know when people are paying attention, and they know if they do something and someone hears about it, they're going to get lauded for it.
No question. I mean, he was the kind of guy that would stay overnight at the hospital with the kid, talk to him until they could get to sleep, a lot of times not being able to, you know, being in pain or whatnot, and he'd stay with him and play Nintendo. That dates it. But he used to tell me that he would go up and just stay up there in the room and play Nintendo and sleep in the room until the kid went to sleep, and he'd get up and get out of there. That's what kind of guy he was.
Wow, that's cool.
And I know from the hospital, from visiting that same hospital, Amplatz at the time, I think it's Masonic right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they told me that. He didn't tell me that. I mean, he told me after I asked him. Yeah, it's Nintendo. Yeah, it's definitely Nintendo. But I definitely didn't know before going into it.
Well, and I think if you have not seen the 30 for 30 on him, the Rand University, I mean, if you watch that, I think you'll get a real good sense of like who Randy Moss actually is, like as a human being. And obviously, he had his battles with the media, you know, especially here, and then, you know, with Oakland was just such a bad 2 years for him, and New England was New England. But you get a chance to watch that, and I know you being a teammate of his for a couple of years, I mean, you really kind of get the sense of who he really was, aside from everything that sort of that we saw on TV.
So true. I mean, the perception is one thing, but reality is a whole different thing. And Randy was a pretty good guy. Now, he was a live wire. I mean, he had a nutter bolt loose on him when we got him as a mm-hmm. rookie. I mean, he was a little bit, he was a loose cannon. All of us were, though.
But you have to be to play in that league.
All of us were. I mean, yeah. But then there were the other ones that you just couldn't stomach. You know, there were other ones that you swear they were the good guys, or they were the guys that were the leaders or the spokesperson of the team. Not so much.
But in order to play that sport at that level, you have to be a little bit off, because there has to be something inside of you that pushes you physically and mentally to become tougher than the other guy.
That's it. That's so true. Well said.
I mean, I only played in high school, and I know I didn't have it. I mean, Captain Haird over here, he was a long snapper for Alexandria, and he didn't have
it.
And if not for Alexandria. And boy, I wish I could have faced you across the line. Readers. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What great pleasure that would have been for you to be the nose tackle.
Fact, I got to see if I have that photo. I don't think Mike's ever seen this thing.
Why don't we just go to break?
We'll look for that during the break.
Yeah, we will do that.
Let's scan it.
It's the superstar Mike Morris here on The Ride with Royce.
Now on The Ride with Royce.
We had a lot of traffic to cover.
Look at the weather.
Traffic and weather.
Traffic and weather.
Traffic and weather together.
And this one sponsored by Indeed.com. You'll see uncomfortable constipation on westbound 10 from 694 to up to County 96. It's due to that right lane blocker they're still working to clear. Northbound W as bad as it ever was from Roseville up to County 96, 25 minutes, 94 to 694. Westbound 94, wow. Ugly nose-to-tail flow from Broadway up to the Brooklyn Center curve. And northbound 100 off the rails, 494 to 694, 45 minutes, which is actually double what it was a half an hour ago. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com. Our 5 Eyewitness News forecast. We'll see decreasing clouds, 56 degrees tonight, then partly cloudy, 72 tomorrow.
Hitching a ride with Royce. On 1500 ESPN.
Listen.
This is kind of jumpy, kind of snappy.
I wish I knew
no
the name
intended.
Of it. Yeah, there you go.
Sounds like Jerry Lee Lewis almost. What's this all about? You lose all the AC/DC stuff? Where is it?
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that. I think I might know the answer, knowing your love for the AC/DC. But what were your thoughts on Axl?
Who, me? I'm not into AC/DC.
Right, right.
Not much. You know what? No go. No.
I didn't. I didn't think so.
I'm a purist. No.
Because
I'm not going to water my band down with some Axl Rose guy. I mean, he went back to pretty quickly, by the way, to right. Guns N' Roses. And
right.
They're a smash, by the way. They're killing it.
Well, and by the way, because my roommate in college is, maybe outside of you, the biggest AC/DC fan on the planet, and he was not happy. I mean, he's attended them.
He pissed me off.
Yeah, he has attended every show whenever they've come to town since we were like 18.
Same here.
But he said, I'm not. I have no interest. No.
I'm like, I was so pissed off. And they just kind of put Brian Johnson's gear on an airplane and sent it back to Florida and sent him back home off tour.
And I've got nothing against Axl. You know,
I mean, I don't either, but don't do that to AC/DC.
Right.
I mean, no.
Don't do that.
You can't put a name like that, a known, huge, iconic sort of rock name, right in front of Brian Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Brian Johnson hit it good when Bon Scott died. That's fine. I mean, they replaced him. Somehow it worked. Two totally different voices. But, you know, he made some of the best albums they've ever made, Brian Johnson, mm-hmm. but then he also was almost deaf. Go
right,
home.
Right,
go home.
Right.
But don't fill in. Don't even try and do that. And then try and tell us that, you know, if we do another studio album, it's going to be Brian Johnson, though. Oh, so you're just doing this on tour with Axl. Don't even think of doing that. It was dumb. It was dumb.
Are you going to see Guns N' Roses when they come to the big, shiny new stadium?
I liked Guns N' Roses. I like the fact that they're back and it's Slash, and it's the two actual members that made it what it was for a whole two albums. They only had two albums. They're,
right.
They're iconic.
Right.
I think Duff is not with them anymore. I'm not even sure if he's alive anymore, to be honest. But anyway, I'm thinking about it. I'm considering it. I'm definitely going to Coldplay, believe it or not. I like all types of music, but going to Coldplay, I'm going to try and get U2 tickets somehow, some way.
You know, I'm so mad about that because I had an email sent to me for, hey, get your early on sale, but it was sent to my work email at Friday at like 6:30.
Oh, yeah.
And then they
got
went
no
on,
chance
and then they
that.
Went on sale for,
oh,
to the general public. I think
no.
That Monday morning, I went, "Oh crap! I missed my chance." Because I saw Joe and I actually went when U2 was at TCF Bank Stadium. That
I'm
show was incredible.
You, I had a chance to go to that show as security with Concordia University.
No
they
way.
Asked me to go over with the football players to work the security of it.
No way.
I'm like, I don't want to see it that way. I don't want to see it trying to keep people off the stage or
right.
out of the wrong room.
Right.
I passed on it. Get
you
up
also
in the morning.
Probably you also probably want to be able to consume a couple of adult beverages
you
while
watching
the show. Definitely
of course. Slam them, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
and
you
as
want
a
to put
security,
them down.
As security,
no,
you can't
do
that.
No.
Yeah.
No, you'd probably end up punching someone just because it was fun.
So you'll love this. So when
and,
we were
and,
there,
and so.
But, oh, go ahead.
But you know, I saw it in the paper the next day, and it showed Bono in the rain.
Oh God, it
just
was cool.
It's the perfect look, and the karma that reeked in that picture of U2 in the rain singing like that was just. I could have been there. I'm an idiot.
So we were, I would say, 40-yard line on the stage side of midfield, and we were, I think, 12 rows up.
Wow.
And so Joe was there with me.
I can't believe Joe likes that.
Oh, Joe is a big U2 guy.
Really?
And so we were sitting there, and my wife was at the time was pregnant with my now 5-year-old son, and we got about halfway through the set, and it started just lightly raining, but we all knew that a bigger system was coming. And I looked at her and I said, hey, you know, you let me know because I know you're, you know, she was at the time, I think 5 or 6 months pregnant.
Wow.
And she said, we're not going anywhere. I went, all right.
That's cool.
You're worth keeping.
That's the coolest thing ever.
It was like, all I need to hear.
Yeah,
all
right. But yeah, it started to rain. It was really cool. That was a fun night to be down to. The only thing that stunk about it, because we parked here and walked down to TCF Bank Stadium, and my wife's a marathon runner. So it wasn't a big deal for her, but getting out of there was a complete nightmare. Well, you remember leaving a Gopher football game? It's bad when they have 30,000. There were 60,000 people
there.
I was at the
soccer game at US Bank Stadium, the first quasi event there,
yes,
and
right.
trying to get out of there, waiting for a light rail because I'd parked here and went down.
Took
waiting,
the rail.
Yeah, and waiting for a light. I mean, it was a nightmare trying to get out of there.
I can't believe how bad it is down at TCF to get out. I know that I'm not doing the school or anything any justice or help by saying that, but it's a mess getting out of a football
game.
Well,
and that's why, you know, when...
That's a horror.
Going down there on a, you know, a February Wednesday night to go to a basketball game.
Yeah.
You know, unless the only place to park is the one ramp.
Yeah,
and getting out of that ramp is a nightmare.
It's not fun. That's the biggest thing that they have facing them, I think. Because it doesn't, you're not going to get the person, you know, like me that lives in the southwest suburbs. I'm not going to come downtown and face that nightmare to watch an hour or a 2 hour basketball game. I'm just not going to do that.
I'm telling you, I went down to a Raider Vikings exhibition game. And all of the main space, the premier lots and spaces are high dollar. It's going to cost you to get in. And they're always available. And so I couldn't find anything. I'm in there with a pack of family and kids and everything else to try and get into this exhibition game.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know, I'm worn out trying to find a spot. Anything in a ramp, forget it. Anything across the street, forget it. Pull up into one of the big time premium lots. How much? I'm going to find out, right? How much is it? $80.
What?
$80.
Oh, my God.
The NFL has the rights to just steal money from you. And they try.
Was a preseason game.
Preseason game.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Like, I am just dumb enough to pay this thing and get these kids
in
there to
see part games, of the game. Cowboys games, you're probably playing, you're paying over $100 for a parking spot outside of AT&T Stadium.
Right. And Jerry Jones even had... the money, I can't even begin to tell you what it was, but he had TVs out on the parking lot for people who couldn't get into the Super Bowl the first year they opened that stadium and had the Super Bowl down there.
Is that when they had the ice storm, too?
I think so.
Is that right?
Yeah, because the Packers played the Steelers.
The Packers played the Steelers, that's right.
And I'm telling you what, he made, I don't know how many boatloads of money he made on people sitting in his parking lot.
Oh, that's right, I remember that.
He owns the whole place. Unbelievable.
And he charged admission. Oh, my goodness.
He charged it to sit there and have a you know, tailgating parties around enormous screens that he had brought in. Good idea, right? Because they couldn't get it in the game, but you're on location right at the Super Bowl still, and I'll be darned if he didn't
There was controversy with how many seats were actually available, right? Didn't they have, like, that deal where some people had bought tickets to the game, but they didn't actually have seats or something because some were accounted for.
There was a class action lawsuit against him for that. You know, speaking of that Raider game, because that was the first Viking game at TCF, right? Yeah, that's
correct.
What I thought.
Correct.
So a former colleague of ours, Corey Roofs, and I went down there that day just to kind of get a lay of the land, because I remember it was a Thursday night, so we got done here at 6 and we were going to go down there.
Yep.
And my number one job at that time here was finding whatever way I could to drive Corey insane. I mean, I took pride in that job. And so we decided to get on the light rail here and then head down, and we were on there, and it was packed with Viking fans. And
tons.
We're wearing just our regular 1500 ESPN gear. And I looked at him, and he said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "I'm going to start the Skull Viking chant right now." And he says, "If you do, I swear to God, I'm going to kill you." And I kept threatening to do it. And I'm pretty sure he would have strangled me had I done that on the light rail at the time. But I thought, is it worth it?
Little chant.
Yeah, just to drive Corey crazy.
And then maybe a little song or something to follow it, like a little kumbaya or something, just to keep things level on the train.
But Manny's right. I mean, getting to the stadium, using that is great, but then leaving is like
is a nightmare.
Oh boy, I'm just gonna get an Uber.
Find the same train to bring you back on time. No way,
right?
No way.
Even now, with like you go to Target Field downtown or Target Center or something like that, even now it's a nightmare because there's so much construction going on downtown with 7th Street and Nicolet, and everything is just ripped up and it's a mess.
Blocky, absolutely. Let's take a little break. We'll be right back. Who knows what we're gonna go into next?
Johnny Height Sports Update.
Oh shoot. I know that. Why didn't I say it? Come on back.
Well, I'm stranded in the city that never sleeps.
See, now I never really know what to do exactly with this next guy that I'm going to introduce, because I got in trouble for even, well, it wasn't even me, it was Joe, who made a few comments before
Oh.
He got into this. So do I announce him as Johnny or John Hyde? I don't want to mess him around or he'll be in here.
Either way, we'll see.
Put about three or four different kinds of dog crap out
See,
of him.
Mike, the thing is with the really high production and high radio quality value of the 3 to 4 hour, I mean, we really do try to strive for excellence. Things like Rookie making fart noises for the entire duration of the hour.
So or Kenny, or Kenny actually farting.
Yes, into the microphone. That happens.
Well, I'm not going to make him, I'm afraid of what he'll do. So I'm just going to say, here with your news, John Hyde.
He called me John.
Look at that.
Wow.
He must like you.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I know my limits.
Until I worked here, nobody ever called me Johnny. Except my mother. My mother called me Johnny. Now everybody calls me Johnny.
Now it's Johnny.
My father called me Johnny once. Remember that? Johnny Dangerously? Remember that?
Yeah. Yep. This update, Johnny Dangerously. Wow. There's a reference from the 80s.
It's an 88 Magnum. Shoots through schools. Wrong thing to say in this day and age.
Wrong. Yeah. This update is sponsored by GNC. Now through July 5th, it's GNC's summer savings event. Get hot value starting at $9.99 on your favorite essentials, vitamins, fish oil, probiotics, and more. Change begins at GNC. The Twins and White Sox in what we now are apparently calling a record weather delay. We're going to start at 5, Chris?
That's according to Phil Miller with the Star Tribune. We are going to start her at 5.
So that will be, if they start at 5, a 4-hour, 50-minute rain delay.
Mm-hmm.
And that ball game's supposed to start at 12:10. If they do get a rolling, sounds like they are, there is, I just looked out the window when I came in here, there's a little bit of blue sky showing. So Nick Turley will be on the mound for the Twins, Jose Quintana for the White
Go
Sox.
Go get them, boy.
I think they're just trying to push this start back enough so that Irv could come back and start. No, probably not. You can't start that soon.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
Other Twins news. Glenn Perkins' comeback has hit a bit of a speed bump. He's trying to come back, of course, from the surgery on his torn labrum. He's being shut down for a week because of biceps tendonitis.
Maybe he'll buy everyone a round of beer like he did last time. There was a rain delay. Remember that?
Oh, that was cool. Yeah.
He can do that today. That'd be record amount spent on the fans for a rain delay.
I wonder how many stuck around. It'll be interesting to see once the game starts.
You know, we had a guy that emailed us that was kind of complaining about the Twins opening up the doors and whatnot. And I guess I get it. If you buy a couple of tickets and you bring your kid down or whatever, you got to pay attention. But if for a unique case like this, if you wanted to leave and come back, wouldn't they have a way to scan your ticket? Because I know that's their rule. Yeah. If you leave, you aren't allowed readmission.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No idea.
You would think so.
One other baseball note. Schwarber, postseason hero who inspired baseball fans with his quick return from knee surgery to key the Cubs World Series title, has been optioned out to Class AAA Iowa. Schwarber's only hitting .179. He does have 12 home runs, but was striking out 29% of the time.
Yeah, that's a lot.
NBA draft tonight. Timberwolves pick 7th, and old Chris over here, he'll help you follow the draft during the beer show.
I've been studying it vigorously, and I still haven't been able to decide who I think the Wolves are going
to
pick.
That means he's going to defer to me while I'm in
you know, his chair. 100%.
And you go by old Chris now.
Well, old Chris.
A lot of different things.
Yeah, I guess I should have said I forgot about Manny, because he's probably the one who's going to be talking about
the beer show. I'll be carrying the load in that
Manny,
department.
What you got? So Manny and Chris will be following the draft during the beer show from 6 to 7 tonight. Nice.
And Fred Alotti will say, what's the NBA?
What's the NBA?
No, actually, Mike's a big sports guy. Football guy.
Love it.
We'll then pick up ESPN's coverage after the beer show. The Wild will open their 2017-18 season Thursday, October 5th in Detroit. That'll be the first game ever at the Red Wings' brand-new Little Caesars Arena. Wild's home opener comes 4 games into the season when they host Columbus on Saturday, October 14th. That's the Wild's only home date in the first 6 games of the season, but then they have 6 in a row at home. After that, schedule a complete schedule announced today. They'll also have a 5-game homestand in February. Longest road trip of the new schedule, a pair of 4-game trips in November and December. They close the season with 3 straight road games at Anaheim, Los Angeles, and San Jose. That 3-game West Coast swing finishes off season-ending runs, playing 4 of their last 5 and 5 of their last 7 games on the road. The season finale in San Jose, Saturday, April 7th. Amazon will stream 10 Thursday night football games this year for $50 million.
Holy cow.
That's about five times more than Twitter paid last year.
Mm.
Customers can either order Amazon Prime for $99 a year or buy a streaming package for $8.99 per month to watch. And how will Amazon make up the money it's invested in the rights?
How, John?
The company reportedly plans to charge $2.8 million for 30-second ad packages, almost six times what cable companies charge.
That's more than the Super Bowl.
Well, it's a different setup, too. The reason they're doing this, according to the experts, their subscription service means they can offer more to the advertisers. In other words, they can put things up on their website. They can, aside from running these ads, those sponsors will be able to do other things. Amazon hoping it can sell more Amazon Prime subscriptions with the exposure it gains from carrying the NFL. Prime members right now pay $99 each year in free shipping on products as well as streaming movies and TV.
So wait, so if they you buy an ad, your company XYZ, you pay the $2.2 million.
Yep.
But is that going to run during, if they're carrying, you know, a Vikings game that's the Fox broadcast, Fox is going to have their own commercials, right?
No, it'll carry during the Amazon broadcast will be separate.
Oh,
from
totally separate.
Well, it'll be the same, just like, did you watch any of the Twitter ones last year?
I did not.
They had their own ads.
Okay, so it's Joe Buck doing the game. They go to break.
Right.
And then it's a different set of spots.
Yeah, Best Buy or whoever bought the ad
it's
from
It's like
Amazon.
A local or network break. You know?
Correct. Okay. Exactly.
Got it.
Perfect.
Interesting.
They're going to make their money back after buying out Whole Foods for $13.5 billion.
God, no kidding.
Yikes.
Thank you, Johnny.
You bet.
Johnny.
The ride with Royce continues.
Now, weather.
With traffic and weather together.
So, why don't you just auger into that guy right in front of you? You may as well. Everybody else is doing it. This one's sponsored by Jersey Mike's Subs. We have a wreck in the right shoulder, eastbound 94. It's in the curve outside of the tunnel. We now have a 30-minute drive between the downtowns for eastbound. Westbound, that crowd dealing with 20 minutes. Northbound W hosting a wreck on the left side at County C in 25 minutes, downtown to 694. Southbound W, a couple of morons blocking the middle lane at Hennepin and a jam from the Quarry Corner down to 46 in South Minneapolis. These guys, they're walking around their wreckage and arguing with each other. And one of them finally decides, oh, you know what? I think my back hurts. So paramedics are on the way now. Grab a sub and a 32-ounce Pepsi at Jersey Mike's, and you could win the music trip of a lifetime. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends August 14th. See the official rules at PepsiRockThisWay.com.
This is The Ride with Royce. He's bound it down. On 1500 ESPN.
I don't mind the music. I listen to a lot of music. Everything from AC/DC to, you know, literally anything. Yellow, Stella, remember that song? So A to Z is what I'm saying.
Sure.
And I mean, I start with Y there, but ZZ Top, all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that was. I'm not really sure what that was, and I don't know why you're playing it with me in here. I'm not.
You know, that's a really good point.
Why are you doing that? You're
probably
doing it on purpose.
Probably
do you think I'm Corey
Roops?
Do you think I'm someone that you should just mess with all the time just because?
Do you want a truthful answer? There's a rotator that's on the log. It's pure laziness. complete and total laziness.
Thank you for coming clean with
Absolutely.
That.
I can't that's lie to you. Good. Hey, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
You said you had a Tom Brady story.
I do.
What
I do.
What was it? I forgot to ask you. Did something epic happen? Did he and Giselle break up? I mean, what?
No. Much better than that. Much bigger than that. Trust me. Did you see the Under Armour? I don't know whether it's a commercial or not,
okay.
But it was on in here when I came in, and I saw it also on several of my sources.
Because here's the thing with Tom, and I mean, he's a very polarizing player in the NFL.
Yes, he is.
But I love that he's got a little bleep you to him. Because remember when...
Yeah, he does.
Was it a sky... He did something a couple of years ago and Patriots fans lost their mind thinking he was going to injure himself. It was either skydiving or rock climbing or something.
Rock climbing, jumping off, cliff diving.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I remember that. So is it along these lines?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He's up to his old shenanigans.
Okay.
Thought he would, I guess, take on a dare by a bunch of sumo wrestlers.
No.
He was visiting to do some training with sumo wrestlers.
So he was in Japan.
He was in Japan, apparently. And, I mean, that's where they're at, right?
That's
where you'd find it. Right?
Awesome.
But look, he was in the ring, the big ring, and he had sweat bottoms on. The other guy did not. He had the customary sumo-style attire.
Okay.
I don't know.
The getup. He had the garb.
He had the getup.
Yeah.
He had the getup on. That's right. And I guess the dare was to have Tom come in and try and push one of the big guys out of the circle, which that's sumo, right? You get in your little stance.
What do those guys weigh? Are they? They're over 300. Are they four?
Oh, easily.
Well, Yokozuna was over 500 pounds.
Yeah,
right?
Closer to six. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, but so he couldn't. Yeah. He couldn't do it. Now I've also been informed that it may not be appropriate for him to have done that.
It crossed some cultural...
The customs and then the cultural sort of...
So it was almost
satire
like...
Satire of...
Okay.
Not good. It wasn't funny. It was supposed to be funny. It did not come off funny.
To understand this then, so because Tom treated it almost as if it was like a spoof...
Yes.
That was culturally insensitive because it showed a lack of respect. Is that fair?
Is there video of this? There is, absolutely. I mean, it was actually on TV when I walked in here on this beautiful screen in here. I saw it, though, on
Bleacher Report.
Okay.
You can find it there.
I wonder how much of it has to do with it actually being crossing some type of cultural boundary and how much of it has to do with the fact that it's Tom Brady. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think it's mostly just Under Armour I guess he went over there legitimately to train with them. He's into his training now. Like no other time in his life, Tom Brady is so he's obsessed by his workouts now.
Well, and everything.
His nutrition,
his diet, everything.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
And you know, he looks as good now as he ever has. He's moving better now than he ever did. I mean, he was a bad body when he came into the league from Michigan.
He was skinny, slow.
He looked like a poached egg. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I think is so funny about...
He's in good shape now.
Well, what I think is also so funny about when we, you know, evaluate a player that's coming into the league.
Yep.
There's so many things that there's so many tangible things that we find with a player, whether it's the 40-yard dash time, but it's the underrated things that separate a player from a non-player. You know, elusiveness inside the pocket.
Yep.
That's not running from the 5-yard line to the 20-yard line.
Right.
That's a subtle movement of, 3 or 4 feet.
Correct.
Inside of a pocket. That's what separates a good quarterback from a quarterback that doesn't make it in the league.
You're right. It's the ability to still stay throwing off that back foot and keeping your mechanics set up to throw.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no one that is more focused in the pocket and will stand in there, literally stand and not jump around and hop around and have happy feet for no reason than Tom Brady. He will sit there and he will stand there and look for his target and throw. If he has to, now he can kind of take off. He can kind of roll out of there and make something happen with his feet, like Big Ben or some of the other running quarterbacks. He can actually get to the edge and find a play sandlot style.
And he knows, even within the pocket, he knows how to just make a subtle step. He'll have a defensive or a blitzing linebacker coming right at him, and he just knows how to take one simple step to the side, and he avoids the sack altogether.
He
keeps his eyes downfield, and it's
totally
unbelievable.
Right. And that's just having pocket presence. They call it pocket presence, and he invented it. But I've never seen anyone more still in the pocket than Tom Brady. And quite frankly, I mean, he has done so much work to try and keep himself in the league for all the right reasons. Because he can still play this game at the highest level.
That's why he thinks he can play till he's about 50.
But I'm not so sure he can.
But that's just it. I mean, he still looks like he's in his early 30s.
Yeah. Right? He'll be 40 this year. He'll be 40 before the season starts. And I'd have to say, I mean, I would have to say he's the best preserved body at the age of 40 in this league, in the NFL, that I've ever seen.
And he's the one player in that organization that has been with Belichick since essentially day one.
I mean,
the roster turnover that, you know, every team has, but those guys especially, because the competitive balance with the salary cap, that's what's astounding. That really was. I mean, and Bill's the kind of guy where, you might be a great player for him. He'll get rid of you.
Oh,
if he can get something for you, he'll get rid of you.
If you don't, agree to the way he's handling you, or if you have a like any player does, if you have a frustration level that builds over contracts or someone getting paid more than you, I mean, it just is not an issue for Bill Belichick to get rid
and
of.
And you played for him in Cleveland,
right?
Yeah. Oh, that's
Cleveland.
Right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. He's something else. He's dynamic.
Did you know at the time that he was a guy that would be destined for this type of career?
No one knew. Nobody knew. In fact, his first team meeting ever, when he got to Cleveland and got in front of us for, I don't even count the mini camps. I mean, I'm not counting that as an official team meeting. I'm talking about training camp, sitting down and telling the team, this is how it's going to go. I was there. First time as a head coach. He'd been in the NFL forever already with New York, with the Giants, with Parcells. So he was already well-traveled. And I think maybe two Super Bowls with Parcells. He has two more rings from another team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he gets there. We have this little amphitheater sort of setting in Berea, Ohio.
And what year was this?
This would have been 1989.
Okay.
And it's 90. So I played 1 year with Bud Carson. That came in 90. It would have been 90 for the training camp.
Okay.
It wasn't his first year. So we have this seating. It's an amphitheater sort of thing where all the seats are sort of stacked to the top of the back of the theater. And then, so anyway, Kosar and Clay Matthews Sr. and Webster Slaughter and some of the other guys that have been on the team forever and ever through AFC championship games and whatnot.
That had success, yeah.
Oh, they were good with Schottenheimer, right? But they were talking. Big no-no. Don't be talking. He's up at the podium already. Belichick is. And he looks up at him. They're chirping away. And here's just this new guy, assistant coach from where? The New York Giants. Okay, so no one knew his name. I mean, we knew it, but I didn't care.
Sure.
So he says, all you guys up there sitting on the top, come down front. So they all look at each other like, what's this? So Kosar, all those other guys, Clay Matthews, great player, played 19 years.
Yeah.
They all have to get up and come down front. Webster Slaughter, the whole bunch, Kevin Mack, sit down in front like kindergartners. I'm getting tired already of the way things are around here. That's what Belichick says. He goes, I've been waiting for a long time to become a head coach in this league, and I'm not going to F it up. And he didn't say F it up. That's what he said.
Wow.
And although he didn't have great success at all in any way, shape, or form with Cleveland.
They had like one winning season where they went like 11-5, and yeah, but that was it.
He never changed his ways of doing things. He never changed the way he approached the game. He believed in what he was doing and why he was able to get a head coaching job anyway, and we can see what happened then thereafter.
But you look at one of the greatest football life stories is the one that's on the 95 Cleveland Browns, and you look at what he was trying to develop and trying to establish with that coaching staff. For God's sake, he had Nick Saban as like his defensive backs coach
or
whatever, and he had Kirk Ferentz on his staff, and he had all these guys because he believed in the philosophy of getting young, really smart guys that were hungry.
Yes.
And that extended down to the roster too. And I'll never forget him saying this, that when they knew that they were moving to Baltimore, he's like, that's when I lost the team. He goes, We had Super Bowl aspirations going into that season.
Because the year before, that was the year they went like 11-5 and
they
went to the second round of the playoffs.
I forget who they lost to.
I think it might have been Pittsburgh.
Okay. But
yeah.
But and then they moved to the Baltimore and Baltimore won the Super Bowl 4 years later.
With Brian Billick.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, he did have a good thing going on there. And you can't believe what he did and how he went about doing things. He was an amazing coach, and we can tell you more about that a little bit later on. But I'll tell you about the time where he jumped over the chain link fence with our number one and two draft choices to time them at midnight. That story up next.
It's not too late to get your 4th of July off to a running start with the Red, White, and Boom Twin Cities Half Marathon Relay and 5K at Father Hennepin Bluff Park in Minneapolis. Race participants receive a tactical shirt and a collectible pint glass, plus an exclusive finisher medal. There is a distance for everyone from a walk-friendly 5K to a 6.5-mile two-person relay to a half marathon. Not a runner? Well, then volunteer on race day to support this popular community event. You'll be thanked with a t-shirt and picnic. That's right. All the details can be found online at our website. All you have to do is enter the keyword events at 1500ESPN.com. By the way, superstar Mike Morris, we were talking earlier about the Twins' rain delay. Our guy Dustin Morris sends along this announcement. fans that held tickets for today's weather-delayed game that's about to start here in just a couple of minutes, well, they can exchange that ticket for a future home date. So that explains it right there. So if you did have a ticket for the game today, you can, I'm sure, can still go to the game today if you'd like. Or be smart and then pick like a nice 90-degree day or 80-degree day in, you know, in July. Do that.
Drinking weather.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you a ball guy? You like baseball?
I like baseball. I love it at night now out of that stadium. It's so beautiful out there. I used to, one of my favorite stadiums was KC, the Royal Stadium.
Coffin.
That's so much fun to go to Coffin Park.
Sharing the ballpark with parking lot with Arrowhead.
Arrowhead, yeah. Right across there. The Harry S. Truman Sports Complex.
Are you a Cubs guy, too, being from Iowa?
I was a Cubs guy all the way.
That's what I figured.
All the way. I, the Iowa Oaks at the time.
All right. We have 10 seconds left, so I apologize. But we're going to get your Bill Belichick story after the top of the hour.
It's a good story. I'm glad we didn't rush it.
Perfect. Just to have you near.